Romans chapter 14, verses 1 to 12. Accept him whose weak faith is weak, without passing judgment or dispute upon disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord. He gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. We hear your word, O Lord, and we know that in the end every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And Lord, we know that this does not make sense to the world around us, and yet for each one of us, we understand that we belong to you, we answer to you. And you are a God who personifies love and makes it real. Lord, help us today to understand forgiveness. That forgiveness does not mean forgiving and forgetting, but forgiveness means to forgive even while we remember. Lord, may we understand these words that you gave to St. Paul for the church in Rome, but also the parable that you spoke to your disciples. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. September 11th, 2001. I'll certainly never forget. And so when we were preparing to celebrate the 10th anniversary, I thought it was some cruel joke, which God every once in a while plays on me, that he would choose, that the church throughout the centuries would choose to have on this day of all days, Matthew 18, where the question is asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Because there are many things that I felt on September 11th, 2001, and the days following. And I'm just going to make a confession to you. It wasn't one of forgiveness. Being part of the military and in the reserves, I felt a tremendous anger and frustration. It was a little different for me. I was in Canada. I was in British Columbia. And all that we were doing was providing a place for all the planes to land, taking care of people that couldn't get home because the air they couldn't get land anywhere in the United States at the time. And so that was the way we could help. But there was a great frustration in my heart at the time. And it took me a while because, you know, I heard people get up and ask the Lord for the strength to forgive. And I just was plain and simply angry. Because it's one thing if you're in the military and you're serving to expect to get shot at. It's one thing if you're serving your country and you're on the front lines that you expect that, yes, you're in danger. But you do not expect for people who are going to work, who are providing for their families, who are being faithful in their vocation, to be taken and to be sacrificed as what happened on September 11th. And so when I was preparing for this week and I was looking ahead and I was thinking this is going to be a day where we're going to remember, I started reading this thing on forgiveness. And, you know, I believe in forgiveness. I believe in repentance and forgiveness. It's part of my daily life. It's part of my hourly life, okay? So I understand how important it is for us. I mean, how can you pray the Lord's Prayer without being willing to forgive? The question that this disciple asked of Jesus was a trick question. He expected to get an enumeration so that he could at one point say about his brother, "I'm done with you." Isn't that what he was expecting? He came to him and asked, "How many times do I have to forgive this schmuck?" Really, I mean, isn't that what is in his heart? He's trying to get Jesus to tell him a number, hard number. And so many times when you read this text, and if you don't know how Hebrew people think and you don't understand how they look at numbers, which makes Revelation and John and many other books in the Bible really confusing to many people, if you don't understand it, you could look at 70 times 7 and think, okay, what's 7 times 7? Times 10. 490, okay, and you could start clicking them off in your mind. But that's, you see, the problem is, that's not the way the people that Jesus was speaking to understood it, right? You get this? No? Maybe I haven't taught this well enough. They did not understand 70 times 7 was, in the Hebrew mind, the number of total completeness. That meant infinite. That meant as many times as he comes, you should forgive him. Now, I don't know where this comes from. Have you ever used that saying, forgive and forget? Is it in the Bible? It's sort of in the Bible. Yeah, you know, it could be, you could make that conjecture from the Bible, but you know what? It's not in there. And I'll tell you why it's not in there. Because the only one who can truly do that is Jesus. Because how many of us can really honestly say, we forgive and then we forget? And I'll tell you why we can't forget. It's because it's part of who we are then. It's part of our experience. And every time something happens similar, what happens to us? We remember. And you know what? I believe, and this is what we talk about at memorial services, funeral services, I believe it's a gift to have memories. They used to talk about elephants and how they have great memories. Any of you heard that? I'm not sure about that. I think it's the wonderful thing that God has given to human beings as the pinnacle of his creation is that he gives us memories. And he taught his people Israel that they should remember. If there's a group of people on the earth that remember better than the Hebrew people, I don't know of any. Because they have remembered from what did they always go back to? Where did they always, if you talk to a Jewish person that's following their faith, what do they always talk about? Yeah, they talk about slavery in Egypt. Now, you kind of go to yourself, if you don't understand this whole thing, you go, come on, can't you just let it go already? They talk about slavery in Egypt, but over what happened at the end of the slavery in Egypt? Passover. The Passover and the crossing of the Red Sea. I mean, they remember every year the deliverance from Egypt. That's a long time ago. But the reason they do so is to highlight the fact that God was the one who brought them out of Egypt, correct? Not the mistreatment, but the victory. Not the pain, but the joy. And if they don't think about the pain, how can they really understand the joy? If they don't think about the suffering, how can they understand the victory? Correct? So I thought it was some sort of a joke on God's part that he would put this forgiveness message in on the day when I really, it brought, just, I'll give you an example. I just took off the internet some of the stories that I thought I might share with you today, but I'm not going to share them for one reason. I couldn't get through them. That's how it still bothers me. I tried to read one story of a guy who, and if you want, I can email it to you, about a gentleman who came up with a rescue plan, and everybody made fun of him because he had been concerned after the Twin Towers had been bombed in the, you know, in the parkade. He was concerned that the next time it would be by an airliner because he figured that was the only way they were going to take him down. And so he prepared a plan, and everybody mocked him. And yet because of his plan, he was director of security, because of his plan, all of the people in his company got out. Except he went back to help others and never got out. And I had a hard time getting through that story. It bothered me that much. And so I said to the Lord, you know, what is it that you want us to understand? Because you're talking, every knee will bow and every tongue confess to God. You're obviously, you want to talk about forgiveness, okay? I get it. I'm slow, but I'm not that slow. I get it. You want to talk about forgiveness on September 11th. Okay, I understand. But what the Lord has impressed upon my heart over this last week is that it's not just about forgiveness. It's about the fact that we're not to forgive and forget, but we're to forgive and remember. Because it's in the forgiveness where we find healing. It's in the forgiveness each and every time the emotions come up. Not trying to forget them and put them aside and pretend they didn't happen. But it's in the remembrance where we get the healing. That's why he said to this disciple, 70 times 7, it's an ongoing, everyday, daily, ritual, but it's more than a ritual. It's a daily thing, okay? Now to describe it. It's something, it's a discipline. You must forgive. That's why he made it part of the prayer, right? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who? There's a reason for it. And yet I have to tell you, I rejoiced when Bin Laden was finally taken out. I'm sorry. I just have to confess. Think ill of me if you want, but I was, for me, it was like justice. And I still struggle with this whole thing, you know, because I have trouble with innocence being killed. And I don't think I'll ever get over it. But I want us today to think about the fact of what led St. Paul to make the statement. What led St. Paul to make the statement was he was saying that if we have this tendency not to want to forgive, if we don't hear the parable that Jesus said where he talks about the servant who is forgiven over $1 million. Do you get that? 10,000 talents, over $1 million. Probably $2 million now. He was forgiven all that money. And then he turned around and he went after a guy for less than $100. See the problem here? You're forgiven over $1 million. You turn around and you run after the guy that's, you know, a few hundred. I know that when I first studied this, that was years ago, it was under 100. Probably now it's, you know, 200, 300 maybe, but you know, do you understand the problem here? You're forgiven of this huge amount, and then you turn around and go after this guy for a little bit. And the master turns to you and says, don't you understand? You've been forgiven much, therefore go and forgive much. Right? And so what St. Paul is saying to the Romans is he's saying, you know, if you don't understand that you're forgiven and you're trying to make yourself feel better because you don't eat meat sacrificed to idols, or you don't do this, or you don't do that. You're trying to make yourself feel better by saying, I'm better than him, or I'm better than her. Forget it. Forget it. Because the Lord cares about your heart, and he knows what's in your heart. You could, you know, here he's talking about Jewish things, so he's talking about some people eat meat with blood, and other people do not, and so on and so forth. And you could, you know, the church I grew up in, it was a Scandinavian Lutheran church, and alcohol was verboten. They wouldn't use that word because they're Scandinavians, but it was forbidden. You know, alcohol is just bad, period. So you could just put that here, you know. He who drinks beer drinks to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he abstains does so to the Lord and give thanks to God. And what he was trying to say is, as long as it's not drunkenness, then that's a matter of conscience. And it's a matter of conscience because you're to answer to your master, not to others. Now, this is important. He goes on to say, for none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Isn't that an awesome passage? Isn't that an awesome passage? That's why September 11th, even though I was in British Columbia, and we were mourning because there were many Canadians among the Americans that were killed that day, we were mourning for all of them, for the tremendous loss that everybody felt, because we're connected. One person's lost life affects all of us, right? Do we understand that? 3,000 people dying on one day affects us. And what Paul is saying is we're all together in this. We're connected. And then he goes on to say, for this reason Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and living. So that if you want to understand who you answer to, it's not to everyone else, it's to Jesus. It's to the Lord. Now hopefully the church, the body of Christ, will be a help in directing and encouraging people, because we can easily get misdirected, right? Any of us say we can kind of get ideas in our mind that aren't in line with Scripture? We can get off track. So the body of Christ is there to encourage us. But he says, you then, why do you judge your brother, or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Powerful words. And today I'm going to ask you, how are you doing with forgiveness? Because this is part of our walk. It's an every minute, every day, every second experience. It's forgiving people who have hurt us deeply. It's forgiving in a general sense, even if they don't ask for it. This is what's so difficult sometimes, is that we kind of, at least I have, and I think there's a point, the church as a corporate entity, you know, we operate by offering forgiveness to those who seek it, right? It's called the opposite of the keys. If someone asks for forgiveness, we offer it. If someone doesn't want forgiveness, we say, well, there is no forgiveness if you don't ask for it. But on our own, as individual persons, as individual Christians, is not forgiveness part of our daily life? Even if someone doesn't ask for it, for our own spiritual health, for our own connection with God up, and for a connection in as the body, it's a discipline that I believe the Lord wants us to understand, is that we have to forgive even if they don't want it, because it affects us. I know Osama bin Laden didn't want my forgiveness. He didn't care. But I needed to deal with my feelings, and that's what God is saying here. Through Jesus' parable and through St. Paul, he's saying, you're the one who's going to have to stand before the Lord. And if you think just because you hate this person and don't want to forgive them because they haven't asked, that it doesn't affect your relationship with God, you're wrong. I didn't want to preach this, by the way, so if you're getting upset with me, take it for what it's worth. This wasn't my choice, but... thank you. Thank you, Scotty. I need that. Yes. Brothers and sisters, that's my challenge for you. when you receive the body and blood of Jesus today, when you hear the words of forgiveness and absolution, that means it's a fresh start. That means what it says. When we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's what 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, 9 says. That's the truth. And it's the attitude of forgiveness that as we leave this place, we can help. Because if there's going to be healing in our nation, there's going to be healing in the world, it's going to come when we help people to understand that even if it's not right and even if it's not just, our personal relationship with the Lord, and I'm going to say this, it's going to sound legalistic, but it's true, requires forgiveness. Requires forgiveness. Forgiveness when we repent and receive it, and forgiveness even when people don't ask for it. So to our relationship with the Lord, our connection with our God is intact and healthy. Because there's nothing that will separate us from God more than unforgiveness. Every knee will bow, says the Lord, and every tongue will confess to God. That's a promise. And if we've followed a discipline of forgiveness in our lives, if we've done what we pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, if we follow that in our lives, then this won't be a painful experience for us. It won't. If you bend your knee every day and confess to the Lord, even if it's symbolic for those of us who don't have good knees, then this experience is not going to be that traumatic. But if you've never bend your knee before the God of the universe and you're always justifying yourself based upon the sins of others who have not repented, then this will be a tremendously painful experience. And I beg of you, bend the knee. Now and always.